Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you very much for giving me this time to spend with you on a Saturday afternoon. It is rather cold, in my humble opinion, here in Houston, Texas, Kingwood, Texas. But I must refrain from talking about how cold it is. One of my callers at the KPFT show, Politics and Rights on KPFT, called me up from Massachusetts and said, "Berto, I take exception to you actually thinking that what you guys are calling cold in Texas is somehow really cold." So I guess it's cool here. The room here is at 72 degrees, which for me, it's almost freezing. But again, as my Massachusetts caller said, I have no right to complain. So how was your week this week? Did you have a good time? How was it watching all the different flavors of news that we had? I mean, we had the Prime Minister of Israel come into our chamber or hallowed land. Well, not really hallowed land, but where we make our laws to dictate policy. We had some more stuff on Bill O'Reilly come up. Wow, amazing the kind of treatment Bill O'Reilly is getting. I think there are two blogs I'm going to read. The first one, before I jump into Israeli Prime Minister issue, I want to kind of touch on Bill O'Reilly because it kind of gets me sort of upset. So I just posted this blog on the Coffee Party this morning because, again, like I said, it was a bit upsetting that the double standard? Yeah, I think it's double standard. But anyhow, here's that particular blog on Bill O'Reilly, and then we'll move on to the other issues. I called it Bill Maher slams Fox News and liberal media for going soft on Bill O'Reilly lies. Did they go soft? Of course they did. Bill Maher called out Fox News and the traditional mainstream media, the so-called liberal media, on his real-time HBO show. He pointed out that even as Fox News loved the Hillary Clinton email fall scandal, they were like a dog with a new chew toy. They ignored the real scandal, the blatant lies dug up in print and in video by Bill O'Reilly. This is Bill now. Let me read to you Bill O'Reilly's words, and you tell me if he is not just a blatant, bald-ass liar. Bill Maher said. He said, I've reported on the ground in active war zones from El Salvador to Falkland. No, you haven't. There is no gray area here. War zone is where the war is going on. You were in the capital of a country that was at war, but the war was 1,200 miles away. Two, Bill O'Reilly, this is still Bill Clinton speaking, Bill Maher speaking. Two, Bill O'Reilly, I saw nuns get shot in the back of their heads. No, you saw pictures of that, Bill O'Reilly said. Irish terrorists kill and maim their fellow citizens in Belfast with. No, again, you saw pictures of it. It's not the same thing. I've seen pictures of the Hindenburg. I don't say I saw the Hindenburg go down. Bill Maher then recounted one of the most blatant lies. He claimed he was the reporter who was there when one of Lee Harvey Oswald's friends committed suicide by shooting himself. There is tape evidence that proves he was in Dallas talking to someone about making arrangements to fly in to the scene in Florida. These are out and out lies, Bill Maher said. Now I understand why Fox News backs him, because they are really not a news service. They are like, you expect the truth? That's not what we do. But why isn't the mainstream media going after him with the same ferocity, the supposedly liberal media, as they did to Brian Williams? Very good question. I suspect it's because they know what you just said, which is Fox News isn't a real news organization, David Axelrod replied. And Bill O'Reilly isn't a real journalist. Bill O'Reilly being full of shit about something isn't savvy. It just isn't. Well, let me tell you, folks. This is the problem. The traditional mainstream media is not covering these lies and others on these issues. It's in itself a dereliction of their duty. While the elites know that Bill O'Reilly and Fox News are full of misinformation, their audience do not. It is a duty of the media to call them out. Then again, the mainstream media at large have their own problems with the dissemination of unreliable and misleading news. So you see, maybe the reason the mainstream media isn't calling out Bill O'Reilly as they should for being the lie monger as he is, because they are themselves not very pure. They themselves have their own problems. Okay, so that was my little detour into Mr. Good old Bill O'Reilly. But the real story for me this week, I'm going to start it off with, let me bring in the story. It is as follows. I mean, the show today, pandering to an Israeli war-mongering, thuggish bully. This week, Benjamin Bibi Netanyahu, the Israeli warmongering, thuggish, bullying prime minister, received a thunderous reception as he addressed a joint session of Congress. It was an embarrassing scene that this little country that is dependent on the United States for its existence would send its prime minister to dictate United States foreign policy. Let's talk about that and other previous issues. But before I get into the blog, which I'm going to parody John Stewart's interpretation of this, please do remember this is a call-in show. The telephone number is 646-929-2495. Again, 646-929-2495. You can give me a call and tell me your piece. Let me know what it is that you actually want, or what you believe on this story. And if you have some other story that are present, other stories that you think something that you want to get out there on air, get out there in our podcast, give me a call. 646-929-2495. Again, 646-929-2495. If you want to speak, please do remember to push the number 1. Why do you need to push the number 1? Because I can see all these numbers of people that are listening on the phone, but I see nobody with the ones. Well, I just saw one come up. I'll be calling on you when you hit ones, folks. But before, give me a couple of minutes here to go through the blog, and I'll be with you shortly, I promise. John Stewart acknowledged exactly what Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed to the joint session of Congress was. It was an attempt to poke President Obama in the eye, a festival of slight. Benjamin Netanyahu appeared at the invitation of Speaker of the House John Boehner, read pandering, in the attempt to embarrass the president. Boehner did so while disrespectfully not consulting or informing the White House that a foreign head of state would be addressing Congress. Benjamin Netanyahu was on hand to explain to our Congress why our president should not be negotiating a nuclear deal with Iran, John Stewart pointed out. And even though Netanyahu was speaking only 2 weeks before the Israeli election. He wasn't there just to use our Congress as the most elaborate campaign commercial backdrop. Of course he was. Of course he was. Jon Stewart showed him bragging on Israeli TV about his mission as the savior of the Jews. Stewart then showed a clip that should be embarrassing to America, the superpower that Israel needs to remain a viable country. President Obama was pandering to Israeli even as the leader of Israel was maligning him, maligning his foreign policy nationally and abroad. America should be even more embarrassed by the adoration and loud applause given to Benjamin Netanyahu by their congressional representatives as if he was a dignified statesman. This is the man that indiscriminately bombed and killed thousands of Palestinians, of a very few. He turned much of Gaza into rubble. Claiming these guys did all these things to Israel, let me tell you something. Israel deserved their safety. Israel deserves all of that. But look at the state of Tel Aviv and all the cities, and then look into Gaza and tell me, who was the aggressor? Jon Stewart, in classic form, pointed out how silly it was to listen to any pronouncements from Benjamin Netanyahu. He pointed out that Netanyahu has been crying wolf on Iran for over 19 years. Netanyahu claimed that Iran would develop a nuclear bomb 19 years ago. He was one of the warmongering neocons advising Congress that regime change in Iraq would have stabilized the region. He has been wrong on all counts. Yet, America panders and glorifies this incompetent empty suit. America should be embarrassed. Again, America should be embarrassed. I have a caller on the line. Please do remember this is a call-in show, 646-929-2495. And bringing in 5... Is that 580-53?
Oh, yeah, bud. Yes, sir.
Okay, come on in, my dear friend. What's your name, sir?
It's Mike.
Okay,
can
Mike,
you hear me?
Let me have your piece. Yes, sir, I can hear you clearly. Talk to me.
Okay. Well, first off, I found you on a good website. Good job on advertisements over Democratic Underground. But everything that you just said, you're damn right. This country, led by our Bible-thumping GOPers, I think about a year ago, didn't they slash $8.7 billion in food stamps, which, by the way, as I posted today on Facebook, what the hell is going on? We're giving these clowns $8.5 million a day in military aid. You got to be shitting me. I want to see the U.S. start cracking down on the Israeli deal with the development of their nukes. What, they got like 250? When you got Pat Buchanan, for God's sake, says they're not a threat. I don't recall how many countries that Iran has invaded since 79. Maybe John Boehner and the boys can tell me because I don't recall any. Bingo. But I'm an American, and you said it best, my friend, and I've said this on Facebook. What the hell is going on when we got the size of the country of New Jersey that's dictating U.S. policies in the Middle East? Every action followed by a reaction. No wonder the 1.4 billion Muslims hate our ass because we don't say shit to Bibi when he and his boys are practicing genocide over there against the Palestinians. I'm fed up with support of Israel.
Now, let me tell you this, and it is important that we point out. It is it is sad that any time I'm speaking about Israel, I must always requalify to my good friends, my Jewish friends, this is not an attack on Jews at all. This is not a negative on the good people of Israel. This is a negative on the war-mongering sect that we have in that land that continues to methodically... actually, it is apartheid in Israel right now. Many folks won't want to say right out. But if you go ahead and you tell me that you're establishing, if we decided that we're going to say we are establishing a Christian state, what does that tell you, my dear friend? If I told you we are establishing a Christian state, it is telling you that we're not establishing a democracy unless that democracy ensures that only Christians can become citizens of that country. Am I not right on that, sir?
Well, I'll tell you what, everything you just said is true, and any comment I made is no slam on the Israelis' people. I'm tired of Dick Cheney Jr., as I call Bibby over there, trying to use American boys, American money, and American blood to start a war against Iran, which really is going to be a nightmare because people forget Russia is deep in bed with Iran. They will react just like we do if South Korea is threatened. Israel has the same problem we got. Hopefully in 2 weeks he'll take care of this and get rid of his ass, because I saw a very good video from a guy that was with the U.S., I forgot, CIA or whatever. I got his video. I can send to you. But he said that he dumped Israel in a heartbeat, and what he meant by that was the cause and after effect of what we're doing and what allowing Bibby to do is really causing major ass repercussions, U.S. image-wide, you know, worldwide. And it's there's got to be a different way to go. Israel, wake up and vote Bibby out of office. He's killing this whole relationship deal.
Yes, he has. I mean, and this last incursion into Gaza was, I mean, let me tell you, I'm a big dude, all right? And I mean, I consider myself strong, brave, and all that kind of stuff. But when I watched what occurred in Palestine, in Gaza, when I watched the systematic destruction of homes, the systematic destruction of people, yes, there are some bad elements that have been throwing rockets into Israel. But please show me the destruction and damage, or the comparable destruction and damage. There was virtually none. But for that, they created billions of dollars of damage in Palestine. And because the United States did not react to that by specifically going to the UN and condemning Israel for doing that, we get the blowback. Because it is like having a spoiled kid that you allow to destroy property. You are ultimately responsible for that spoiled kid. And that is exactly what has happened. Look, we all know as a fact, many Jews don't like many Palestinians, and many Palestinians don't like many Jews. But that can be said of many different groups, many different countries all along. We don't see a superior one with superior powers guided by the superior nation blowing the smithereens out of them and indiscriminately killing human beings. The problem we have many times is that we give gradations of humanity to different people, to a different group of people. Their humanity is not worth as much as their humanity is not worth as much as their humanity. So while if you had ever stated that 2,000 Israelis had been killed, it would have been a massacre, and it would have created a type of reaction from the world that how could 2,000 Jews be killed? Remember the Holocaust. And we would hear all these items. Palestinians are methodically and systematically killed, innocent ones. Look, I don't care what's in the heart of the average Palestinians. I don't care if they hate Jews or not. That is none of my business, just like I cannot care who hates whom. We cannot control people's hearts. We can control people's actions, because actions are what damages others. The feelings
well, my friend,
are...
you know... I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
I was going to tell you... everything that you're saying, if you want a very interesting discussion, I got the guy's video. I just looked it up. But the guy's name is Michael, S-C-H-E-U-E-R. He's ex-CIA for about 20 years. And it's a video, and it's not what it sounds like. The video header is called Israel Has No Right to Exist. But what he's talking about is exactly what's coming out of your mouth, how every action causes a reaction, and America is suffering from a relationship with Israel, which he says basically offers nothing from a national security, economic, or political well-being for this country. It's a great video. It's 20 minutes. It's not what it sounds like when he says Israel has no right to exist. What he's talking about is the American approval of their operations in the West Bank and Gaza, which are really damaging our whatever reputation you want to say in the Muslim world. He's a very interesting guy. It's 20 minutes. It's called Michael Schuer, Israel Has No Right to Exist. You'd enjoy watching that because this dude knows what he's talking about.
No, I actually just found the video, and I am, I'm going to put the link to the video in the chat room right now. And I haven't, I'll watch it after the show, but it looks, is he a Jewish guy, Michael Schuer?
You know what? I can't remember in detail. He worked for the CIA for about 19 or 20 years. I saw him on a 9-minute clip about another one called, I've got it right here. It's called another one he had called, hang on, I can tell you real quick. It's called,
yeah, while you look it up, I want to tell our audience.
Here it is. It's called I'd dump the Israelis tomorrow. He's in front of Congress.
Okay.
And these videos, again, for anybody listening or whatever, he's not slamming the Jews at all. He's talking about the repercussions of us supporting guys like Bibi with his constant, let's go attack the Jews, let's go attack the Palestinians, and he brings up something, and he's right. The NPT, that Nuclear Proliferation Treaty? Why post today on Facebook? When the hell is the U.S. going to crack down on Israel like they are with Iran with all these stipulations? Because you never see it. It's a joke.
Right. And you see, the problem is this. When you have an issue where we all know, I don't think, the problem is Israel is not a signatory to the treaty. Right? They're not a
signatory. No, they never signed it, and neither did we.
Right.
Isn't that beautiful?
And this is interesting. The thing about it is, Iran, look, I have no love for any particular country except our own, okay?
Yeah.
Because this is where we live.
That's what Schuer said, buddy. Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, and that said, the reality is if you take that stance, you're able to objectively view situations. Because your only concern should be what is an existential danger for your country. And every country has the right to believe that or to adapt that policy. What is of existential danger to my country? Once you figure that out, you act accordingly. Unfortunately for the United States of America as a superpower, we don't always act that way. We don't always say what is of existential danger, and I think because we think we're preeminent. I think the reality is there is much going on in this country, and because of the lack of news that we have here, we don't see the end. While we spend all our money fighting wars, while we spend all our money doing all these things, there are other superpowers in the waiting. China, that is going through Africa, that is building roads in Africa and ingratiating themselves with these different governments. They're in Panama, Central America, my country of birth, Panama. They're in Panama helping out in different areas. They're in Argentina, Brazil, all these places throwing their weight around. And nobody reports that here in the United States. You have to dig for that information. So everybody thinks the world is an American-centric world where everybody is simply waiting to see what America is doing, while China and other countries are all over the world doing their thing.
Well, actually, I posted today on Facebook, when I hear Sean Hannity and these clowns talk about the liberal-controlled media in this country, if somebody wants to know why the hell we don't get this, it's simple. I've got a link I can send to you. There's 2,500 hours per day in the U.S. of conservative talk on radios, there's 250 for progressives. Yeah. I'm tired of AIPAC. AIPAC needs to be booted out of D.C. They're killing us. They have got people now afraid because, if God help us, if we don't protect Israel, blah, blah, blah. And I have nothing against Israel, the people. I'm tired of guys like Bibi because he reminds me of Dick Cheney. He knows how to press Sean Hannity's button, run over to Limbaugh, trash Obama. I'm an American. And that speech, I got a buddy that's a big Jewish I mean, a big, you know, Israeli fan of this, told him, I said, dude, I'm an American. Do you know what it would have been like if the frickin' left brought over the French president when Bush was in office? I mean, this is a joke.
The thing about it is, it shouldn't only have been this. What Bibi went out there to say from the podium to knock a policy that, first of all, he hasn't read, but even if he had read it, to come on our in our House of Representatives, the House of the People, and state what he stated about our president, even Republicans should be embarrassed that he said what he said. Nancy Pelosi said it best when she said that who was this guy to be so condescending to the United States of America, the country who they owe their existence for. Throw a whole lot of military resources when they're attacked? No. I mean, right now we are carrying NATO. Look at the monies that we spend. And by the way, for those who think, oh, we are just being benevolent in spending this money, let me qualify this for you all, my dear listeners. We are not spending this money because we are benevolent. We are spending this money because of what President Eisenhower has known all along. The military-industrial complex, those companies that build the military hardware, those companies that feed the military, are the ones who benefit from all these money. So while it's going to for the defense of Europe and it's going to keep the sea lanes open for corporations, let me tell you what it really is. It is American tech dollars used to prop up companies, meaning the military-industrial complex, but it goes even worse. We don't know the things that American business has to do or American businesses have to do overseas to maintain their omnipotence. If you were to go into, let's say, the bauxite in Jamaica, let's say the copper in certain mountains in Panama, let's say the natural resources for different elements in Afghanistan or in Africa, we do a lot of things that are not quite very nice. And, you know, we have to keep a strong military because when folks decide to revolt against what our businesses are doing overseas, along with the dictators overseas, when they start to revolt, we have to have a strong military to protect American interests. Because we just have to do it. So in other words, the American taxpayer is also subsidizing every single major corporation that has international interests that is using some exploitative method of getting resources from these underdeveloped countries. So remember that. You're doing yourself, our average middle-class citizen, doing themselves very little favor in supporting these neocons who are simply there. And by the way, these companies don't consider themselves Americans, okay? These are not American companies. These are insular companies that know no borders. They care nothing about borders. They may be a French company, a Dutch company, an English company, an American company. It doesn't matter to them because this type of capitalism has become insular, and it is. And what is the country? Is the conglomeration of these corporations. And you say, sir.
Well, you're right. Here's the deal. Everybody should go to YouTube and Google in Ike, Military Industrial Complex. I post this all the time on Facebook. Every time we get involved in this crap, like, people need to go read there's a great article in The Atlantic about what really ISIS wants. Obama's falling right into their trap. Come on over here. The military-industrial complex is bankrupt in this country, and unfortunately, Americans get all their crap from the right-controlled media in this country. And so, of course, everything that America does is great. And by the way, for all those righties out there, I want to ask them a question. I see Iran's got their boys on the ground fighting ISIS. Where's Israel? Where are they?
Thank you.
Where are they? I don't see. Iran has troops right now fighting ISIS. Where in the hell is Israel at? Okay, where is Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia's got the
third or fourth largest military in the world. And I tell guys, Christ, if you're going to get upset about beheadings, I said, what's going to happen is it's real simple. ISIS Sank, who used to be on MSNBC, has the Young Turks. And he did about a 10-minute video talking about Obama's falling right into their trap, whatever. Come on over here. Come on over here. Because if you go read this article in the Atlantic, which I can send to you, it's called What ISIS Really Wants. Obama gets our deal in there, and I'm telling you, everybody, if you think Fox News went nutso over a Saudi pilot or whoever it was, the Kuwaiti, I forgot which guy, wait until one of our kids gets captured over there, and they go live on that, because ISIS is better than us in winning the social media game right now. You watch what's going to happen. The shit's going to hit the fan, the neocons, blah, blah, blah. And I'm afraid Obama, God help him, I support the dude, but this is one fight we're not going to win.
Let me tell you, I don't know who he's listening to. I don't know if right now he's just trying to hold pace to throw this stuff over to the next president.
No, bud. You know who his top advisor is, don't you?
Which one are you talking about?
At least it was at one time. Obama's top advisor was Brzezinski, who's CFR. I always tell guys, you want to know how this crap works, go look at the CFR. That was Colin Powell, John McCain, both Clintons, Brzezinski. Unless things have changed, his close advisor that was Brzezinski, who used to work under, was it Nixon,
Carter.
I believe? Yeah, Carter.
No, Brzezinski
sorry.
Was under Carter. Yeah, Carter.
Yeah, that's the same guy. His daughter's Nika on Scarborough.
Nika, yeah.
On MSNBC.
Yeah, Nika Brzezinski. But I tell you something. We have to be careful. We have open lines. We have a lot of callers on, but nobody has pressed one to speak. So if you want to come into the conversation, please press the number one. Our telephone number is 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. Join the conversation. Let us know what you think about the Israeli, first of all, about Netanyahu insulting our president from our own Congress. Let us know what you think about having a foreign head of state attempt to dictate U.S. policy, whether or not, and I'll be upfront, I do believe that the Republicans in this case have been completely and entirely unpatriotic. Your president is your president, and you allow no head of state to come onto your land and use your resources to defame, to defang your president. So please give me a call, 646-929-2495. I'm going to leave you hot. Stay with me, Mike. Let me bring in.
Hey, one thing I would. No big deal. Okay, buddy. I will.
See, I'm leaving you hot. You're still on.
620.
Is this Jack? Jack, or is this you, Jack?
Hey, yeah. Yeah, you got
Come
me.
Come on in, my friend. Yes, sir.
Okay. For one thing, the guy may be too anti Israel. Okay. I'm against Bibi Netanyahu. Netanyahu, he's to the right. He's just as bad as the dog whistle white ring crowd. I am Jewish, and I would like to see Labor win or any other bunch. And I do not believe in AIPAC. But I am against the right of return for Palestinians, because we do still need a Jewish state in Israel.
Let me ask you something, Jack. First of all, I applaud you for as a Jewish person to come on this station and say that you actually have a problem with Benjamin Netanyahu and AIPAC. I think that is something that most Jews believe that, and I thank you, first of all, for coming on and saying that. Now, my question to you is, you just said that you think that there needs to be a Jewish state. My question to you is, what about the Palestinians on that Jewish land? Should they not have rights in that state?
Well, I don't think, I do believe Jews have a right to have a country representing them. Yeah.
Which, can I ask you another question?
The question is, there's a majority of are Jews in the majority of residents in Israel, and so I think the problem is, the question probably is no. They have the right of return, and it would be a Arab country.
But let me ask you a question.
Let me say this.
Sure. Yes, sir.
I do not. Okay. As far as with mediums, that's what we should. You cannot trust even the New York Times for what they said about Clinton. Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton. Yeah.
Emails. That is a tempest in a teapot. What's that city in Libya now? Benghazi. Benghazi.
Yeah.
Crap. Would be blown up out of proportion. All right. So the ambassador got killed. Maybe it was carelessness on the part of. We got rid of what's his name? Not Khomeini, but
you're talking about Gaddafi. Gaddafi.
Gaddafi. Yeah.
Former Gaddafi. Yeah.
Okay, so he got killed. Got rid of him. We got rid of Saddam Hussein, and we got rid of.
Bin Laden.
Okay, so big deal. How are we going to replace? I think we got to come in. We got to still negotiate with Iran. And I think we might have a breakthrough with the nuclear weapons. So
you're correct.
What?
We are going to have a breakthrough. I think we are going to have a breakthrough with Iran. I also think that having gotten rid of Saddam Hussein as well. First of all, the first Bush knew it was not smart to get rid of Saddam Hussein because of the vacuum. He was right. We got the vacuum. And likewise, it was wrong to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi because what came was a lot worse. Let me bring 412 in, and then I'll come back to you, Jack. 412, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hi, Berto. It's Greg. How are you?
Hey, Greg. Talk to me, my friend.
Hey, I this is a really interesting discussion, obviously, and one of the things that strikes me is, the attention that needs to be drawn on a Republican-controlled Congress that decides to invite a foreign head of state into their chambers with really the express purpose of dictating foreign policy to us is, as you've been talking about, I don't know if it qualifies as treasonous or traitorous, but it certainly is.
I call it unpatriotic.
Ugly. Yeah, that's it. It's unpatriotic for sure. And what I guess my two comments would be that early in the discussion, I think you had said that you weren't really blaming the Jewish people, especially those who live in Israel and who voted for Bibi. I'd have to disagree with you. It's the same reason I disagree with why it's important to blame average Americans who vote for these same Republicans who do this sort of thing. It is their fault that Bibi Netanyahu is the prime minister. It's their fault that the Tea Party took over the House of Representatives. It is their fault that those people are there. Now, we as progressives and liberals also are to blame, because if we don't show up to vote and outvote our conservative countrymen, then we get what we deserve.
I am not going to argue with anything that you said. My thing about when I spoke about most Israelis, I'm not talking about the voting process. You are absolutely correct. It is our fault, but it is not our. In other words, if you look at the Congress that we have today, it doesn't represent America. It does not represent America at all. And it is true what you said. It is the fault of liberals, good-thinking conservatives, and all these people that our actions actually affected the Congress that we have. We get the Congress that we elect, and we allowed others to do the election for us. So you're correct. Right. There's a separation that I try to make between people, what people believe and what people do. You know, you have a kid, and the kid do wrong things. You still love the kid. The kid is still a good thing, but the wrong things that he did had an effect on what's going on. And that's how I, that, you know,
I
that's
you're,
how
I
try to.
I think you're, you are very generously extending that that metaphor, and I think that's where I would. You know, I got nothing but admiration and respect for you, but that's where the argument actually breaks down logically, because we have to stop pretending that
I am not.
Let me tell
you what I
need. The halls of. Sorry,
Greg. Let me tell you what I'm wanting to do, Greg. This is not. I promise you that's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is attempting. Look, I am very. When I am one on one with folks, I am very hard. On putting the blame where it belongs. However, I want to first attract that person to listen to me. And what I am currently relatively successful at right now is getting all those folks that simply will throw what I say away is to first giving them a hearing, a way to listen to what I have to say by first listening to them. I had I went to a panel at Daily Coast. We had a panel in Austin last week where we sat down. And, you know, we are Daily Coast, we're a very, very, very liberal rag, very liberal. And one of the things that I opened up to the floor is the fact that very, very, that place is loaded with a whole high level of intelligence. But it's no good if that high level of intelligence is insular, if it's only to the people there. So my question to them is, how do we open up this bastion of knowledge, this bastion of information to others? And then I said, what bait do we use to bring people in? And there was a converted Republican in there, and she came and spoke to me at the table at first before she had her piece to say, where she said, I want to tell you, modified. I'm a changed over Republican conservative who is now a strong Daily Coast reader and want to do more with Daily Coast. And what I did to her is I asked her, what was the process that got you into where you were? And she said, because she was lucky enough that, in effect, not that she was left alone, but that she was allowed not for me to beat, and when I say me, I'm talking about the Daily Coast family in general, not for us to beat something into her head, but for her to come to the realization herself. So what I try to work at is to tell the truth in such a manner, and I fail sometimes, I'm successful at other times, to tell the truth in such a manner that person feels, I am not doing what you told me to do. I'm doing this because, wow, I see what you're saying. And, you know, I watch your posts, Greg, and I watch you tell folks the information that is needed to be told out there, but I think there needs to be a counterpart to you, me, who is there to say what Greg is saying is absolutely true. And at the same time, invite that person into the fold. Do you get where I'm going with this?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I invite anyone to join the conversation, so long as they come to that conversation with actual truth, with actual facts, and with some
and
sort of defense in terms of their and some sort of defense as to why they believe what they believe and why they behave
right.
The way they behave. If you're going into
and
the
you know
polls
what?
In America and you're part of the middle class, and you're pushing the R button, you are voting against yourself. I can
right.
Bore you into next week with all the facts and the reality of that. If you're not
going you
to come
what?
To a conversation willing to expose yourself to those truths, then you're not part of the conversation. I
right,
don't want to talk
know,
to the people who are willing to change.
Right. Let me tell
because
you.
Egberto, you and I know we are right. And that's
yes,
where the conversation has to start. One of us is right. And it's the liberals and the progressives that are right. The conservatives are wrong on everything.
Look, you are absolutely right. And my goal is to get to that point. And I think we are going to be successful in doing that. Greg, stay with me. I'm leaving you hot. Let me bring in 218. 218, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
This is actually Barry Paul from The Barry Paul Show.
Hey, Barry, how you doing, my friend?
I'm okay. How you doing, sir?
All right. Talk to me, sir.
Yeah, I'm really appreciating your show, if nothing else, for the content is very interesting, although I hold different views. I appreciate your radio voice, sir. You have a very good radio voice. I enjoy listening
to you.
Thank
you, sir.
And I wanted to put in a view, though, that I know wasn't going to come up, and I don't do this to throw you off track or to offend anyone or anything, really. It's just
No, wait, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right
sure.
there. This is a show where we exchange ideas, and everybody has a plate. Everybody. So speak your mind.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir. I just wanted to say that I'm really an advocate of nonviolence to the core. I'm a philosopher, and my philosophy stems from nonviolence. And when I look at these situations, like, I don't see much difference between, and I don't say this to offend, this is my honest view, I don't see much difference between a person like Netanyahu, a person like Barack Obama, a person like George Bush, John Boehner. These people are very, very similar to each other in my world, relatively compared to someone, per se, like you or me.
Mm-hmm.
And what they all have in common that is absolutely unacceptable philosophically and morally from my perspective is the desire and the willingness to use violence to get what they want, to force people to do what they want them to do with a state, the state, a state, whatever, wherever we're talking about, to force them to do things with force. If the will of the people is a real thing, if there really is a will of the people, why do we need to point guns at people to get them to do it? I had a conservative tell me on a show last night. Yeah, I had a conservative tell me on a show last night that the only way to get the will of the people is to force people to do it. And I can't get over this conundrum that if we have to force them to do it, how is it the will of the people?
Look, let me first tell you something, okay? When you made that statement, Barack Obama is George Bush, is Netanyahu.
Not that they are. No, I don't want to be misrepresented.
I'm not
saying they're exactly the same.
I understand exactly what you mean. I take it within the context that you stated. And the reality is, and let me say this, I like the president as well, and I think the president knows what's right, and I think what many fail to realize is the president is not the presidency. The presidency has a certain gravity that one man, the president, cannot fully control. There is a gravity there.
Absolutely, but don't you see that feeds into what I'm saying about the state. The state is not an effective mechanism,
And there's
because we choose to solve our problems that way, we don't solve them, we make them worse. people on the ground here in real life, between us, person to person, that's where we make the change. That's where we show the nonviolence.
Exactly.
That's where we show our, the conservatives love to talk about their freedom, but all they really do is spend all their time being a slave to arguing about what Obama's doing. They're not free.
Right.
They have no desire to be free. They have a desire to be trapped in their delusion and conspiracy. I'm proud to be much more on the skeptic side.
Now, I like to tell my, as a person who likes Obama and think Obama does have better character than most presidents that we've had, I can tell you that what he does in his military endeavors is mostly on the covert side. So I don't really know, when people say, oh, there are a lot of similarities, I have to say, yes, there are similarities, but it is the presidency. Because, when you look at how we've attacked with drones and all these sort of things, there is a similarity there. Now, when it comes to social policy, which is what there are distinct differences that we should note. There are no comparisons, no congruency at all when it comes to policies with respect to who deserve what, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When it comes militarily, I would agree with you on the most part that you're correct on that issue. When it comes to social policy, it's a completely different environment because there are two distinct different ideologies, social ideologies.
I think that's true, but again, I would say that they both go back to the same mechanism. They both say, how are we going to change social policy? How are we going to change society? They want to do it with guns. Anytime you point to government and you're going to ban something or you're going to make a law for something, you are asking people to point guns at other people. And that's why I'm sick of the political thing is, in the rights and power, the left the right points its guns at the left and gets what it wants, and when the left's in power, they point their guns at the right and get what they want. And I just think that if people really wanted these things, in the absence of a, you know, coercive central authority, they would be able to get whatever it is the heck they need. You know, it just doesn't seem like
right.
there's much difference when, regardless of what the policy is, it's being enforced with the state. You know, that's where I think it's disingenuous for politicians to claim any kind of will of the people. They don't know what the will of the people is. And by the way, there's no people. We are individuals. We are only established as people, you know, if that actually goes along with what we want as individuals as well. So it's
right.
a tricky equation, and I'm sick of especially the conservatives throwing me in with we the people, and because I'm we the people, they get to rule me in a certain way. Well, maybe I don't want to be one of your people then if it means that I have to be ruled.
Right.
Maybe I can
well,
get
I mean,
what I want
I, you know,
without
I
the state, without violence.
I don't know how, you know, I don't think people can argue with that tenet, but let me just say one thing. One of the biggest issues that came up last week is when net neutrality seemed to have been successfully won, temporarily that is, until we see what the courts have to say when all these companies start to sue. But I think in getting moving forward, those are we are getting some sort of democratization of the media using this platform. The mere fact that I'm on, the mere fact you said you have a show called The Barry Paul Show?
Yeah, that's right. I used to be on Blog Talk Radio. Now you can find me on iTunes. Just search Barry Paul Show or on Google Play. I do a philosophy show now. I stray away from the politics, but I deal with these issues of violence.
Well,
and
you have a following, I would imagine, and we all get a following. Hopefully, Dr. Ruzak will decide to get his show going, right, Dr. Ruzak?
I don't know if you want me on the air, Greg Berto.
Actually, I do. Look. Yes, I do. Let's be frank here. One of the tenets of the coffee party is civility. It's not stupidity. It is civility. Now, there are times that our civility has bordered on stupidity. Okay. Now, the reality is it is no longer bordered on stupidity. It is bordered on everyone having equal access to get their point of view across. However they want to make it, as long as they're not calling somebody an a-hole or something of that nature, and as long as they attempt to be as fact-based as possible. Knowing you, Greg, for the amount of time that I know you, you have always been fact-based. So, no, yes, we want that type of programming on air, and I would fight for having your type of programming on air, sir. So, anyhow, Barry, look, I appreciate you calling here. We're about running out of time, so why don't you give me a quick closing argument here before I then go to Jack and then close out with Greg. So go ahead, Barry.
Oh, I thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. You've been absolutely hospitable and pleasant, and it's wonderful. And I just want to say to people, just again, it is your personal life. The politics thing, I think the way I look at that is, yeah, if somebody's, you know, all up in your business right there in your face and they're messing up your life, yeah, some personal activism is necessary in that situation. But other than that, these political leaders don't listen to us. They don't care. They do virtually the same thing they're going to do anyway. They do the same thing as the last guy, a little bit worse every time, regardless of party. What it comes down to is between you and the people in your life. You just demonstrate to them what it means to be free. You demonstrate to them what it means to be happy and moral and nonviolent, and you pass that message on person to person. That's how it gets done. And shows like this, yes, they also feed into the person-to-person effect, because you, what I'm talking about doing in your personal life, you're doing it right now, talking in that microphone and getting your views out there and trying to work this stuff out. I think it's beautiful, even though we don't agree on everything. And I really thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your thoughts, Paul. Jack, give me a quick 30 seconds, my dear friend.
Okay. I'm going to join the coffee party. Just keep in touch with me. I tried to call you yesterday because you had this problem with Blog Talk Radio. The show has not yet started, you know, a lot of that
right.
stuff. How we do it? I'll call back 15 minutes before the show. We don't know what the hell 15 minutes before the show starts.
But let me tell you, Jack, we're going to try to clean some of that stuff up. So because we know we have dedicated listeners like you, sir. So I have to move on to Greg to
several
close out. But I want
that's happened.
I understand, sir. We, you know, it's technology, but we'll try to get that fixed, Jack. And let me just tell you, we do appreciate having you as our one of our most devoted listeners. So you take care, my dear brother. Greg, give me a closer. Oops, I got to turn your mic on. Give me a closer, Greg.
Hey, Jack, hang in there, man. Don't give up on these guys. This is an organization that's full of really good people like you trying to do good work. I will continue, though, however, to say that as much as we can try and live our lives individually and with those close to us, to Barry's point, I don't disagree with any of it. But to my fellow liberals, and I'm proud to call myself a liberal, if you're staying home, this is your fault. Why we see what we see in America today is because you don't vote. There are more of us than there are of them. So long as you stay quiet and disengaged, we will continue to see a slide downhill and to the right. Thanks, Egberto. Keep up the good work.
Hey, thank you very much, Greg. And I am so honest to tell you that I hope to see you doing one of these pretty soon within our network. We hope to have 20, 30 of these things going. Actually, I think we have room to have, actually, I think we do have room to have approximately 21 of these things going, if not more. So we want to see more people engaging, more voices out there. Folks, please join the Coffee Party. Go to coffeepartyusa.com. Become a member, and then become a part of the media. You have something to say. You have something to promote. You want to ensure that our country change. It's not going to happen from those others. Egberto's not going to change this country. Greg Rusak is not going to change this country. Jack is not going to change this country. Paul is not going to change this country. You are going to change this country, all of us together. Now, Paul made one statement that I disagreed with, which was that they don't listen to us anyhow. He is correct that they currently don't listen to us anyhow because we have never or have not in recent times forced them to listen to us. My call to you is to get with organizations. I have a bias to organizations like the CoffeePartyUSA.com. Come to CoffeePartyUSA.com. Be a member. This is a changed organization that is looking to make changes. It's an organization that wants to hear your voice. It's an organization that wants to hear all voices undeterred. We just ask folks to be civil in the way they talk to each other and getting their points across, but no censorship, folks. Come on here, get your word out. We want to ensure that America is informed. I'd like to remind you guys that currently we have several news programs on the site. We have on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, I Take Liberty with My Coffee with Bobby Rodrigo. On Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, we have Lunch with Loudon with Janine Loudon. And Saturdays, you're here with me, Politics Done Right with Egberto Willis. We want to see more shows. We want you guys to come on and get busy with us moving forward. Because you know what? We will be moving forward. We will ensure that we will be moving forward again. Thank you very much for giving me this time on a Saturday afternoon. This is Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis. You have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Arrivederci. Adios. Bye-bye.